You see, there's a reason why they don't want me to do this kind of thing, because I always forget what I'm doing. Mike's going to be ministering to us from this text. It's found Proverbs 2, 1 through 9. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. That's the word of the Lord. I want to just say a quick word as Mike is going to come up here. Mike is one of those guys that is trusted. And he's trusted with the lives of people. He's an elder and a pastor here. And I'm telling you, he's a rock at Grace Community and someone that I lean on. Let's welcome him as he comes.
Thank you, Pastor Dave. Let me tell you, I am so excited for this bunch from Uganda to get back, and I'm so excited to hear more about what they went through and what's happening, and I have a vested interest. My son, Stephen, and Sarah are still there teaching in the music school. I was texting my son this morning back and forth before I left the house, and what a blessing. When they left, we didn't know what kind of communication we were going to be able to have with them at all. And between the group that was up here and the group that's there and the other families and that wonderful thing called Facebook, which does have some good qualities about it. Anyway, and one of them is this, that we've been able to stay in touch and see what's going on and just feel a part of what's happening. As a dad, I am really, really enthused with Craig's word when he said that it affected them more than they affected the people that were there. I am so excited to see my son in 5 months and how God is going to work in his life. I saw I'll be quiet in a second here, but I'm a proud dad. Funny, because how things change, that circle of life thing, not Walt Disney, but God. And the picture of my son sitting in a hardbacked chair, like a plastic chair, sitting out on bricks in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of nothing around him, in the sun, kicked back with a cup of coffee in his hand. And in the background was this young man called David. David, this is one of the sons where Stephen lives. And he's on a bike going like this around Stephen. And I tell you, that was me and Stephen at that age. Kids 8 years old. I was worn out, sitting down, Stephen, full of energy, buzzing all around me. So I can see how he has fit in. And I'm just so excited for what's happening over there and what's happening there. But so to bring us back to where we are here in the United States today, have really enjoyed Pastor as he's gone through some of Proverbs as we're spending the summer going through. And I love his definition. Did you guys catch that a couple of weeks ago? His definition of wisdom, which is what Proverbs is all about. He says, wisdom is the ability to grow and flourish in any situation. The ability to grow and flourish in any situation. Do you know that life is tough? How many of you guys have figured that out? If you're just like brand new and started, and you haven't had much life experience yet, you figure out life is a breeze. Well, let me tell you, life is tough. How many of you know who can tell me, anybody guess who Marion Mitchell is? You ever heard of Marion Mitchell? I'm going to buy lunch for somebody that can tell me who Marion Mitchell is. Oh, without looking up on your phone. Oh, I got you. You know what John Wayne's name was before he changed it to John Wayne? His stage name is John Wayne, Marion Mitchell. One of John Wayne's quotes is, "Life is hard. It's even harder when you're stupid." Think about that. Life is hard. It's even harder when you're stupid. How many of you are stupid people? How many of you know stupid people? How many of you live with stupid people? How many of you see a stupid person in the mirror every morning? Absolutely me. Absolutely me. And so we've been talking about wisdom. We've been talking about wisdom, so how do you get this wisdom? How do you get this wisdom from God? So how do you obtain it? How do you find it? Well, we're going to look in God's Word a couple of key things, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. There's key direction on how to gain some wisdom from God. The first one is, and we're talking in we'll start with, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding." First of all, we have to desire it. First of all, we have to desire wisdom from God. Have you figured out yet that you don't know it all? Have you figured out yet that you do not have the answers for everything? The older I get, the more I know that I am dumb. It's the less I know. The older I get, the less I know about things. And I have to rely desperately on God's wisdom. I have to rely desperately on God's wisdom. It says, the word says, to incline your ear to wisdom. You know what that means? As I do, because because of life I'm getting deafer. I don't know if that's correct English or not, but I am having a harder time hearing. And when somebody talks, I find myself doing an old person thing. You know what that is? Because I'm getting to be an old, is, huh? and turning my ear, and pretty soon I'm, huh? Like they're trying to cup it. And I'm thinking, hang on, Mike, come on. But you know, you got to turn your ear. You have to desire it, and you have to focus, and you have to make it an intent in your life to learn some of God's wisdom. It says, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. When you go hunting for silver, it's like a precious metal. Is it like just laying on the ground somewhere? Is it like if it was laying on the ground, it wouldn't be precious because everybody would go grab it? No, you have to hunt it. You had to hunt it. You have to hunt it like a hidden treasure. How many of you have watched all the Indiana Jones movies where Harrison Ford is in search of, you know, something every time, and he's got a bunch of, you know, ancient Germans chasing after him or whatever all the time? But what do you have most of the time when you go hunting for a hidden treasure? You have a map. You have a map that either you think is right or somebody told you is right or something you have found is right to be able to hunt for this treasure. So what is our map? What is our map as believers to hunt for God, to hunt for wisdom? What is our map? This is pretty simple. Our map is God's word that he has left us. So we need to desire it. We need to hunt for it like a hidden treasure. I don't know if you saw in the news, in Arkansas, there's a state park. I just left my brain as to what it's named. It's a diamond park. It's where they have found diamonds over the years, and you can walk around through this section, and you can peck around on the ground where thousands of people have done it before and look for diamonds. A couple days ago, somebody else had walked thousands of times before, came up with an 8.2 carat diamond that they found, the size of a quarter. I mean, they put it next to a quarter, and it was as long across as a quarter. Now, 8.2 carat, that's pretty darn big. You know, I thought I was going out of my way with my wife with a 2-point-something on her ring for our wedding anniversary, for her wedding ring. I'm not going to show her how big 8-point is, and this gal just found it laying on the ground. You know, so anyway... But you have to hunt. You have to desire it, and you have to hunt for it. Have you ever been hungry? I mean, really hungry. Really hungry. And that desire that comes over you for food. I have been on different long endurance cycling things, and I have burned up every bit of energy in me to the point where in cycling it's called the bonk, where I'm just about done. I am so hungry at that point that I'm literally riding down the road thinking, looking, oh, you know what? I could eat that piece of grass. You know, I could do, I mean, I've been that hungry. I've been that hungry. I have been that thirsty that I stopped, you know, those great big irrigation pipes. I have stopped on the side of the road, laid my bike over. I walked out in mud with my shoes and to try to get water from one of those big pipes into my, now, no telling, you know, sometimes it wasn't around a dairy, I don't think, but sometimes they put more than water in those things. But I was that hungry. I was that thirsty. I was desperate. I was desperate. Are you desperate for God's wisdom in your life? Are you desperate? Are you tired of making mistakes on your own? Are you tired about going around that same mountain time and time again? Do you have kids? Man, that was, when my kids were little, every day, I mean every day, that was part of my prayers. God, give me wisdom with these kids. Give me wisdom with these kids. God, I've got girls and they're not ugly. Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. I've got teenage boys. Oh, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me patience. Give me a 2x4. You know, give me wisdom every day. Every day. We need to be praying for God's will because we don't have it all up here. We don't have it all up here in our brains. If you have small children, if you have infants, be praying now for wisdom. Be praying now for wisdom on how to raise them. Be praying wisdom on what to say and when to be quiet. Because you are going to be able to mold that child. What happens at a very young age, good and bad, affects them for a lifetime. You know, and so that should scare all of us. That should scare you as a parent. That should make you want to desire wisdom, desire God's wisdom. And so the second thing, and God doesn't make it some big heavy-duty formula, you know, that we have to do. He just says, ask. He just says, ask. We're looking at James chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. If any of you lacks wisdom, that's us, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by wind. Do you doubt that God loves you? Do you doubt that God has a plan for you in your life and that God has the best in store for you and that He wants to be everything to you? Or are you tossed around by the wind like a wave? Have you ever been out on a boat in a storm? I haven't, and I hope I never will. I get seasick in the bathtub. I've only been out on the ocean once, and I was seasick by the time we got underneath the bridge going out the bay. Of course, part of that had to do with what I had done all night before that, I'm sure. That was way back in my BC days. But I am seasick. But man, you watch some of these shows where they do the crabbing and the tuna fishing and all that kind of stuff. Oh, brutal. 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 Tossed around. Those big boats tossed around like nothing. Have you ever been tossed around by the wind of life and been tossed around and beat up? Man, ask. Ask for God's wisdom. Ask for God's wisdom and believe in it. And believe in what God says to you. And believe in what God tells you, not only through His Word, but by people who carry God's Spirit with them around you, godly people around you that give you direction. God doesn't want you to be tossed around. Doesn't want you to be sick. Sometimes we don't see God's wisdom because we only want to see our own. Because we only want to see our own. Have you ever asked for wisdom in a new job? Have you ever asked for wisdom in moving? Have you ever asked for wisdom in, I don't know, buying a new car or whatever? Oh, God, give me your wisdom in doing this. And but really, in the background of your mind, you've already got it made up, right? You've already got your mind made up. You've already figured out exactly what you're going to do. And even though God may be telling you something different, you just kind of stick your fingers in your ears. Has anybody ever done that besides me? Oh, yeah, absolutely. And what's usually the result of that? Not good. Pain, suffering, agony, woe is me. That's usually what happens later on when I go against God's wisdom and what He tells me. And so we have to desire it, and we have to ask for it. We have to desire it, and we have to ask for God's wisdom. But why don't we do that? Why don't we do that? I don't know. But I can tell you a couple of reasons that I think. First of all, We're going to look at Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. I don't think we have the fear of the Lord in our hearts. I don't think we have the fear of the Lord. Now, when I talk about and think about the fear of God, do I fear God as a grumpy, mean guy with a big stick ready to whack me? I probably did as a child. I probably did as a child and as a teenager, thinking I was just going to get whacked by God, that He was going to cause me, that He was going to cause me pain, and that He was vindictive, and that He was mean. A lot of the world views God like that. A lot of the world views Christians like that. Amen? Oh, there's been a lot of stuff in the news this week. Oh, mercy, there's been a lot of stuff in the news this week. But more than fearing God as a vindictive man, a vindictive grandpa, mean, how about fearing God as that He loves us, compassionate, merciful, gracious, everlasting, and I don't want to disappoint Him. And I don't want to disappoint Him. Sin in my life distances me from God. Sin in my life clogs up that relationship with God. And I have a fear of God being that I'm going to be away from Him. That I'm going to be away from Him by my actions, by what I do, by what I say, by what I think is going to cause me to distance myself from God. And I may distance myself from God so far that I get away from His hand of protection on my life and open myself up for some pretty horrific things. If you've raised a teenager, how many times have you thought and told them, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that, and they do it anyway? All of us. And at some point, you just say, okay, well, you're going to do it, and now, I'm sorry, but you're just going to have to reap the benefits of that, the consequences of what you're doing. I don't want to put myself in that spot with God. I'm going to open up just a little sliver of my life, something that maybe you guys don't know a whole lot about me. If you've been around here a long time, you probably have. When I was 16, and I'm going to apologize if I step on your toes just because I don't want to hurt anybody, but I love you, and I may do that anyway. When I was 16, I started smoking weed as a 16-year-old in school, in high school with my friends, more out of curiosity than anything else, to see what it was like, and then to fit in with the group that I wanted to fit in with, to find a spot, you know, to fit in. And from 16 years on up till I was 23, it got to the point when I was 23 in the last few years that it was like the most consuming thing in my life. And that it got in the way of probably every relationship that I had. And it got in the way of definitely of a relationship with God that I didn't have at that point. But it's going to be legal. You know that? It's going to be legal. But let me tell you what happened when I was 23. And I hit a low point in my life where I finally surrendered to God and finally surrendered and said, I can't do this anymore on my own. I'm stupid. I'm done. I need You desperately. I accept Your Son as my Savior. And in church terms, I got saved at 23 years old. It had got into my way of a relationship with a wonderful gal I met in high school, dated for 3 years. She had a relationship after 3 years of dating with God, and she got saved, and then she prayed for me for 3 years. And I know that she prayed that God would do something drastic in my life that would make Himself so real to me that I could not deny Him. And you know what it was at 23 when I finally gave in and I finally said, God, You have Your way in my life. I'm a sinner. I'm an idiot. Help me, help me. God immediately took away a desire for me to smoke weed At that point in my life, it was an everyday occurrence. It was the reason I got up in the morning was, hey, when can I? And I would plan my days around it. But immediately, God took that away and revealed himself to me in a way that I will never forget and that I cannot deny. So, am I going to, because now it is legal, am I going to start partaking again? No, because I know what God did in my life, and it would literally be a slap in his face. It would literally be a slap in his face saying that sending his son down to die on a cross for my sins was not good enough. Was not good enough for me, and now that it's legal, it's okay. Just because something is legal doesn't mean it's right and okay for you. Just because something is legal doesn't mean it's all right and it's okay for you. Man, if anybody wants to talk about how weed is a gateway drug, you can talk to me. Because from then on, I tried everything else. Pretty much everything else from then. And it may not affect everybody the same way. Do I hate people that smoke weed? Absolutely not. I have an extreme amount of empathy for them. I have an extreme amount of sorrow for them. I want to love them. I want to love them and help them. Because you know what it did was, the biggest thing that it did for me, besides lack of motivation in my life, besides lack of short-term memory, which now I have anyway, don't smoke any weed. But if, you know, what it did for me most of all, was magnify the selfishness in me. It magnified the selfishness in me. It was all about me. It was all about me. Now, maybe smoking weed is not your deal. Maybe it's, you know, everybody's got something. Maybe it's food. Maybe you have a food addiction. Well, if you have a food addiction, you don't go to the buffet, all right, just because it's a good deal. If you have a gambling addiction, you don't go to the casino for lunch, all right? If you have trouble with lust, you certainly don't go to the strip club because they have a $4.95 prime rib dinner, you know? You use some of that wisdom. If you have a shopping addiction, you don't go down to the outlet mall to get an Orange Julius, all right? Do not put yourself in those positions. Use some of that wisdom from God. Do not put yourself in those positions. Watching the news last night, and it's all about, one of the two big things is all about, and Pastor can have the other one anytime he wants. One of the big things is legalization of marijuana, and they started showing the we'll call them dispensaries in Portland, with all the different weed lined up, all the different colors and all the different names in all the little containers. My mind started racing. My mind started racing back, and I think, huh, man, I ain't ever even going near one of those things. So I'm going to give you complete authority, and I'm going to give you complete carte blanche. If you see me in a weed store, you can slap me upside the head. All right? I don't care if it's medicinal for me. I don't care if it's going to make my hair grow. I don't care any of that. It's personally not for me. It's personally not for me because it was the most significant thing that God did in my life to make himself real to me. And it would be a slap in his face if I partaked at this point. I may be able to just do this, a social weed smoker. I may be able to go home and take a couple bong hits at night and it not bother me and not get affected. Maybe. Could I rationalize that in my brain? Sure, I could. Can you rationalize your own sin in your brain? Absolutely you can. Absolutely you can. But I tell you what, because I have a fear of getting out of God's protection, that I will not go there. Now, he took away that immediately from my life, and it was just like this. It was like this huge weight that was lifted on me. But let me tell you, he left a whole bunch of other stuff in my life. Most of them you will see. I may not have time to get through them. Most of them you will see in the rest of the notes as we go down. So why do we not fear God more? My personal opinion, out of God's word and my own personal experience, is pride. Is pride. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We think more of ourselves than we ought. Amen? Anybody? Absolutely. And pride is a very hard thing to see in yourself. It is a very hard thing to realize. It is a very hard thing to accept, to look in the mirror. The most prideful person I know, I see every morning when I shave. Every morning when I shave. And here are some different possible side effects of pridefulness. And maybe you, if you have, you know, it's like you take a sleep apnea test. If you check more than, I don't know, 8 boxes out of 20, you might have it. Well, if you check a couple of these more, you might have pride in your life. First of all, you're stubborn. Your way is right, even when you know it isn't. You ever been there? Your way is right, even when you know it isn't. I've had disagreements with my wife, and I know she's right, but I still think I am, you know, even though I know she is. And it takes me a little while to finally say, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry, you're right. You know how you judge maturity in your marriage? Is that gap gets smaller. That time frame gets smaller. I know at some point I'm going to have to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Even though I don't want to. And you can judge your maturity in your marriage by if that time gap comes short. I know we rarely, really rarely, because she's such a wonderful woman, and rarely have disagreements. But I know at some point I'm going to have to say I'm sorry, and we'll get rid of this tension in between us. So why not just do it now? Why not just do it now and get it over with? Have you ever seen how a mule/donkey can get stubborn? My dad was a horse person, grew up around horses, and he had a friend that had them, that used them to pack stuff. And I tell you, when they got their mindset that they didn't want to do something, no manner of beating, pulling, whacking, kicking, prodding, with a carrot, with a sugar, with a boot, could get a mule to change their mind on what they're doing. Is that you? Is that you? That's pride. Man, that is pride in your life. That is pride in your life. You know, a great way to grow in humility is learning to accept that you were wrong and learning to tell people, yeah, you know what? I was wrong. If you have kids, have you ever made a bad decision with your children? Have you ever disciplined out of anger? Have you ever, I mean, the list could go on, and I could say yes to all of them. But I tell you what, if you go before them and say, hey, I was wrong. I was wrong. I should not have done that. I should have listened. I should have done this or that. They will honor you more than ever before, than if you didn't do it. If you don't do it, you know what seed you plant? Bitterness, anger, rebellion. And I tell you, as a teenager, that stuff comes natural. All right? That stuff sprouts up anyway. You don't need to be feeding it. You don't need to be feeding it yourself. So if you want to be respected by others, and that's just like one of the big things in your life, I want respect, man, learn to be humble. And learn to be humble around others. And I hit this already. If you're selfish, you can tell if you have pride in your life if you're selfish. That my time, my resources, my energy, my thoughts are better served on me than anybody else. Now, you may not come right out and say that, but your actions may prove it. Your actions may prove it, and your thought process, I'm sure, will prove it. Maybe once in a while, you do something for somebody else that's not for you. But do you do it with the motivation of, I'm going to scratch your back, and I'm going to make sure sometime down the road, I'm going to claim that, and you're going to scratch my back? Do you do it out of manipulation? Do you give out of manipulation? Do you give in church out of manipulation, thinking that I'm going to give, God's got to bless me? No. Humility. Thinking more of others than yourself. Remember, just because it's legal doesn't mean it's right. I forgot one that I wanted to go back in there and say, just because it's legal. And we have relatives that live in Nevada. And do you know that in sections of Nevada, it's completely legal to go to a house of ill repute? We have most of the kids out of here. That it's legal to go to have prostitution. And it's absolutely legal. So, But God's word says, do not commit adultery. I think that's one of the big ones, right? Now, I'm pretty sure that if we went down to visit my family, and I told my wife, hey, I'm going to be gone for a couple hours. You know, it's legal. It's legal, you know, and I'm pretty sure where she's going to fall on that, it's going to end on the side that is legal, but it's not right. And I'm pretty sure all of you guys will too. Just because it's legal, it's not right. A lot of things in the news, just because it's legal, it's not right. Weed being one of them, all right? Okay, that was such a blatant, see, in our eyes, that is a blatant thing, that it's legal, it's not right. Some things aren't so blatant, and they kind of get smoothed over. Okay, selfishness. The last one, I'm running out of time here. The possible reaction of pride in your life. Overconfidence / cocky. You ever been around somebody like that? I don't like being around people like that. You know what I do like about being around people like that? It's because at some point, it's going to be entertaining to watch them fall. All right? That's the way I think sometimes. That's the way I think. You know, God's word says, a fall goes before the proud. And so, you know, some of the professional athletes, some of the ones I can't stand just because they are so cocky. You know? And man, have I been there? Absolutely. Not a professional athlete status, not whatsoever. But a know-it-all status, a know-it-all. Never ask for help. Never ask for direction. Even if you've never participated in whatever event you're going to do and whatever aspect you're doing, never ask for direction. Never ask for help. Good thing of pride that you can see in yourself. The next one and the last one. Unable to receive correction. Unable to receive correction. Can't stand to be corrected. Always have an excuse. Always have a reason. Why? Talk yourself and blame somebody else all the time. You respond in anger when somebody tries to correct you. Even though maybe in the back of your brain, you know they're right. Even though maybe in the back of your brain, you know you're right. The opposite of God's wisdom, the opposite of humility in your life. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. Man, be willing to accept correction in your life and humble yourself. Because, man, we do stuff wrong. I make mistakes all the time. All the time I make mistakes. And we need to be willing to suck it up and say, yeah, you're wrong. And yeah, maybe I need to adjust that rudder in my boat. Maybe I need to adjust direction. Now, from 16 to 23, I had people in my life that told me I needed to be doing things different. That I should not do this, I should not do that. I need to honor this, I need to honor that. Did I listen? No. What is 16 to 23? 7 years? Absolutely. I didn't listen. And you know what? They were saying the same things. They were saying the same things. It was the same message. But I did not have ears to hear. I was living a selfish, self-centered, prideful life. Of which I still do now. Just, you know, I'm a little bit more aware of it, you know. But if somebody is talking to you about something in your life that you need a change, be willing to listen. Be willing to listen. Don't react in anger. Get on your knees and ask for God's wisdom. Ask for it, hunt for it, search for it, desire it, like you were hungry and there's a T-bone at the end of the road. Hunt for it, search for it. My wife is one of the most humble people I know. And she will give me direction in something, and sometimes I don't like to hear it. But you know what I have learned? What I have learned over the years? Man, she's got a lot of wisdom. And I have learned and learned to say, you know, I think you're right. Once in a while I do that, don't I? And I tell you what, what it does to our relationship, what it does is just cement us and bring us that closer. How do you think God reacts? when you ask for wisdom and you ask for it in your life and say, God, I'm sorry. I messed up. I need help. Give me wisdom. Give me direction in this thing. You know, how do you think God feels? That's what we wait on as a parent. We wait on our kids after they mess up to come and say, you know, I messed up. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I disappointed you. I had a 21-year-old tell me that. Oh, it just makes me want to grab them. Not like this, but like this. Other times like that, but like this. And bring them close and love them. And that's what God wants to do for you in your life. And so hunt for his wisdom. Hunt for direction. We're going to, Jason, go ahead and get yourself together here. We're going to have, we haven't gotten the habit of announcing it every week yet, and we haven't gotten the habit of you guys, but we're going to announce it. If anybody after service needs prayer at all for anything, you're welcome to go into prayer room. We have that open at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings for pre-service prayer. You're welcome to come in and join us. There'll be people in there after service that would like to pray with you if you would like it. If you want just a personal time with God with no interruptions, with nothing else, just say this. Just tell him. I don't, you know, let's go ahead and say, this is between me and God. And I'll respect that. Bob's going to come up, and Bob's going to give us some direction about what's going on after service out here. Please take an opportunity. Listen to him and take an opportunity. We have an opportunity to bless a family that does not go to this church, that is going through some really, really hard times. And if there's nothing else that we should do as Christians, is we should love others. Amen? And this is, we have a great opportunity to do that. Sorry, Bob. Grab one of them.